We ask you, Lord God, that you will speak to us, even as we break the bread of life together. Lord, I'm going into a territory that many people have never heard a sermon preached on. I pray, dear Lord, that you will open our eyes, open our understanding, and make this truth to change the way we look at spiritual warfare. Bless us by your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read three verses, 13 through 15. The title of our message is Denying Satan of His Favorite Food. Denying Satan of His Favorite Food. Genesis 3, 13 through 15. We're going to read the three verses together. Let's go. And the Lord God said unto the woman, let's read verse 14 again, if you will, please. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I want to bring you what I like to call an eye-opening message this morning. I've been in the church, born again for many years. I have never heard a sermon preached on this subject before. And I don't believe I have ever preached a message on this subject myself. I think I can safely assume that for most of you, this is the first time that you are hearing a subject like this discussed behind a pulpit. In a way, I feel doubly qualified to bring you this message for two simple reasons. Number one, as an African, it is easy for me to believe what I'm about to share with you. But more than that, a balanced exposé of the scriptures will prove me right this morning that what I'm sharing with you is biblically based. Denying Satan of his favorite food. Have you ever wondered what Satan's favorite food is? Maybe that's one question we should go on Broadway and ask people. No, his favorite food is not macaroni and cheese. His favorite food is not jerk chicken. The passage of scripture we just read tells us what his favorite food is. Incidentally, he has people that work for him in the form of demons and human agents, and they all enjoy the same meal. And it is our duty to know what this meal is. And it's our duty to deny them of this favorite food. I want you to look at verse 14 again. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all the beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. The answer to my question, therefore, is very simple. What is Satan's favorite food? Can anyone tell us? Dust. Dust. Dust is Satan's favorite food. You say, Bishop, you have nothing else to preach? I mean, of all the things that we can preach about, why bother to preach about Satan's favorite food? By the time I finish, you'll be thanking me for bringing up a subject such as this. Dust is Satan's favorite food. He said, and dust shalt thou eat. How often? All the days of thy life. So Satan does not know varieties. All right? They tell us we need to eat balanced diet. They put the pyramid. They say some grains we must eat, some vegetables we must eat, some dairy we must eat. The expert about eating is sitting in the front and is smiling that I'm touching his subject, but it's just for a while, sir. So they tell us what we're supposed to eat, but for Satan, he doesn't do with varieties. He only eats one thing, for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. And what is it? Dust. That's what he is. And everyone that lines up as his agent here on earth, they have to eat this. Dust. I want you to listen to me very closely this morning because I have something that I think will wake you up and help you in your quest to be more than a conqueror. He said to the serpent, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Then come the scientists, critics of the Bible. They ridicule this passage of scripture. Of course, they ridicule many passages of scripture. I remember I told you before that there were some German theologians that reduced the whole Bible to 27 verses. They said that only 27 verses are authentic in the whole Bible. And this is one of the scriptures that it will eat dust all the days of his life. They claim that serpents don't eat dust. Snakes don't eat dust. In fact, I did a whole research on the internet to see whether one researcher will come up agreeing with God in verse 14. And not a single one of them agrees with God that serpents eat dust. In fact, they quote Genesis chapter 3 verse 14 making fun of God. That this is why we say that this God, so-called God of the Bible, has no sense. He said that serpents will eat dust all the days of their lives, but they don't. And they say that with all joy and with all gladness. I give it to them that in a way they are right. If you look at it in the natural, snakes don't eat dust. Snakes don't eat sand. But God was not speaking in natural language. No, he wasn't. He was speaking spiritually. And this is where their darkened minds have tripped. I want you to hear me now. Many times, God will speak using natural things to pass across deep spiritual languages. And I see this all over the scriptures. Let me show you at least two scriptures. Chapter 2, The Lord was making a statement about the temple. And they totally and completely misunderstood what he was talking about. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 2 verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will do what? I will raise it up. That was the statement he made. Then said the Jews in verse 20, 46 years was this temple in the building. And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But look at verse 21. But that's not what he was talking about. He was not talking about the temple that was standing in front of them. The Bible says in verse 21, but he spake of what? The temple of his body. Amazingly, his own disciples did not get it. The understanding of his disciples were just like the understanding of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were around him. Because in verse 22, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And now they did what? Believe the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. So even when he said, destroy this temple, I will rebuild it in 3 days. Even though they were quiet, they also did not understand. Let me give you another scriptures. Matthew chapter 16 verse 6. Matthew chapter 16 verse 6. And these were the disciples here, folks. Matthew 16, 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So they started thinking about bread. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, oh, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Don't you understand, neither remember, the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye put up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread? I'm not talking about bread. That ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I wasn't talking about the bread that the Pharisees and the Sadducees bake. No. Then in verse 12, they now understood how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of what? Of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So many times God will speak and use a natural analogy to illustrate what he's saying, and you take it naturally and you trip that way. You know why? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. We go back and gain a better understanding. Let me show you what Paul said. Verse number 14. In fact, I would like for us to read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. You're there? Now let's read. Go. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are what? They are spiritually discerned. So when God said, you will eat of the dust of the ground all the days of your life, oh, they looked at what God said and said, this is foolishness. God is talking gibberish. God is talking foolishness. I don't understand this. We've done researches upon researches. That's not part of the diet of the serpent. But he wasn't talking about this, the dust that they understood. You know what my prayer for you is? That when God speaks to you, you will understand. You didn't hear what I said. That when God speaks to you, you will do what? You will understand. Because many times, God will speak one thing to you and you will take it to be another thing. Especially when you dream a dream. Number one, most dreams are nothing but foolishness. Most dreams are nothing but foolishness. And I don't know why some of you dream dreams of foolishness and go and tell the dream of foolishness to somebody else. I remember my wife was pregnant with Joy many, many, many years ago when we were in Brooklyn. And one of the ladies in the church went to her and said, I had a dream that you died while giving birth to this pregnancy. How can you open your mouth and go and talk foolishness like that for somebody who is pregnant? If the person is not careful, she will die before she goes into the labor room. On Wednesday, this past Wednesday, I was sharing with some people yesterday. This past Wednesday, I woke up in my room, and one of the children that worked for me ran to me and knocked my door. And I said, who's looking for me at 7 o'clock in the morning? And lo and behold, it was one of the head guys that worked for me. And he said, Daddy, I need to talk to you. I said, all right, what do you have to say? He said, postpone your travel till next week. I said, why? He said, because I had a dream of a plane crash. You will die if you travel this week. I said, is that all? That's what you have to say to me 7 o'clock in the morning before brushing your teeth. So which one is more important? What the word of God says or what your dream says? The word of God says, I will be with you in your what? In your going out and in your what? And in your coming in. When I came here, God was with me. And when I'm going back, God will be with me too. So why do you dream stupid dreams and you begin to tell people? So I looked at him, I said, my own life is not guided by somebody else's dream. I don't know why some people don't dream positive dreams about others. It's always negative dream. I saw you in a car accident. I saw you died. I saw you. You never dreamed that I got $1 million. Why? No, seriously, why? Why is it that some people, some people love to say it so that if it happens, they say, you know, I said it. Their first problem. If I had crashed coming back here yesterday, he would have said, I told him, hard-headed. They go to America, they have too much sense. I told him he would die in a plane crash. He would have waited till Sunday. I said, no, I'm going back to the U.S. I'm preaching on Sunday morning in my church, and nothing is going to stop me. So all this foolishness that people see and they don't balance it with the word of God. And there are some of you are just experts in scaring people. Experts in scaring people. You have a little dream, you scare people. You tell people. How do you expect them to feel? I didn't even tell my wife because she would be praying. And there are better things to pray about. So God, as he's coming, oh Lord, don't let him crash. Don't let him. There are better things to pray about. He should be praying that you will bring your tithes and offering to church this morning. That would be a better prayer. Hallelujah. So be very careful what you hear and how you interpret. Because sometimes God will speak to you in a dream, and it may even be a true dream, but he will use a figure of speech. Most dreams are nothing but figures of speech that you have to interpret. And then if you take it literally, you will just confuse yourself. There was a season here in this church about 2 years ago where people were just dreaming bad dreams about me. And they were telling each other, they will have told everybody before I had. And I knew it was a season to make me afraid. So I had to go behind this pulpit and make noise about it. Even one of the people that worked so close to me, one of the ladies that worked so close to me, walked in my office. He said, Bishop, I dreamt that you died. I saw two caskets and you are in one of them. I said, you are in the second one. And I'm not the one in the first one. I don't know who is in the first one, but you are the one in the second one. That was the last time this person told me about bad dreams. Turn to somebody and tell them, keep your bad dreams to yourself. How did I get to dreams anyway? I think you needed it. So many times God will speak to you and give you a language that you have no idea of. Why don't you just leave it alone? If it's a bad dream, pray about it. Don't come and tell me. Pray about it. And leave it to yourself. If I dream a bad dream about you, I'll just pray about it. I'm not going to let you be scared. Oh, by the way, I told the young man, I said, you are letting your life be directed by dream. I said, if all the bad dreams you have dreamt about yourself have ever come to pass, you will not be alive today. He said, that is true. He said, that is true. Still, he believed that I should not travel. So on Thursday, I called him. I said, go get me some peanuts. I'm taking some peanuts with me. I said, go to the market and get me some peanuts. And then he called me back and said, oh, the peanuts I have to pick up in the morning. I said, I'm leaving in the morning. I'm leaving on Friday morning. Eh? He said, Daddy, you are still traveling? I said, yes, so I'm traveling. And nothing is going to stop me. Not your dream. Because I have another word that is bigger than any dream anybody has ever dreamt. And the word of God is more important. Amen. Dreams shall pass away, but the word of God shall abide forever. Don't let your life be guided only by dreams. Let your life be guided by the word of God. By the word of God. By the word of God. So he said to them, the natural man cannot receive spiritual things because they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So they read Genesis chapter 3 verse 14 where he says, thus shall thou eat all the days of your life, and they stumble. So with all these that I've said to you in mind, therefore, I want us to go back to Genesis 3:14 and get a better understanding of what God was saying. When he said in verse 14, the last statement, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, in that verse 14, here now, I'm breaking it down now. The Bible is talking about two different creatures. You all agree that one is a serpent, and the serpent represents who? The serpent represents Satan. All right? The Bible here talks about those two creatures, the serpent and Satan. At the same time, the serpent, here now, was cursed to crawl on his belly. And Satan was cursed to eat dust. What does the dust signify? To understand what it means, you have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. That's what you do. There's no other way to do it. If you let your mind interpret it, you'll make a mistake. But if you let Scripture interpret Scripture, then you'll have a good understanding. So the first question you need to ask yourself is the word dust. Where does it first appear in the Bible? And where it first appears in the Bible, what does it mean? What does it signify? And then this is the second time now in Genesis 3:14 where it appears for the second time. Then you also want to ask yourself, well, where it appears the third time, what does it signify? The first, the second, and the third. The second we know is talking about Satan eating dust. But then what does that dust signify? That is his food. So then let's look at where it first came up, and let's look at the third time where it comes up. Now to find where it first comes up, then you have to go to Genesis chapter 2. Because Genesis chapter 3 now is a contention. Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going. I'm trying to teach this morning. Oh, by the way, if you don't come to Bible study, you are missing a lot. Seriously. Do your best to come to midweek services. It will be a blessing to you, especially this coming Wednesday. The people that taught for me the last two Wednesdays, I understand, did a very good job. You can't just come on Sunday and feed on Sunday alone. Come back on Wednesday. Come back on Friday. Will be a blessing to you. I can't imagine God gave people day off last Sunday and still they don't come to church this week. They want 2 weeks in a row. May the Lord have mercy on us. Now let's go back to where the first time where the word dust ever comes up. Genesis 2:7. Are you all there? Let's read it together. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Okay. So who is composed of dust? Man. You and I are the dust. All right? Now let's go to where it comes up the third time. Genesis chapter 3. You jump verse 14 to verse 19. And then you find a very clear understanding of where it says, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Comparing Scripture with Scripture now. Genesis 3:19. You're all there? Now let's read verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Read on. Till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. Now read the last part. For dust art thou, and unto dust shalt thou return. Am I clear so far? So comparing scripture with scripture, therefore, it is not difficult to understand that God was referring to who? To man. To man. Are you shocked to hear that? Man is Satan's favorite food. I'm pausing so it can sink in. I know you don't like it. And me? There you are. Yes, I am. In fact, if not by the grace of God, seriously, if not by the grace of God, most of us will not be here today. Seriously. If not by the grace of God. I can tell you stories upon stories about myself where I almost became their dinner. It's when you get to heaven, those of you who say you don't know anything God has done for you to be thankful for, when you get to heaven and God allows you to see council meetings where your names came up, your husband's name came up, your wife's name, your children's name came up, and they say you are the next for dinner when they meet, and God overruled it, you will be surprised, and you'll be thanking God for his mercy. In fact, that you have not been eaten up till today is still an amazement to them. Do you know many people who get sick and get free and get well? The sicknesses were not ordinary. The sicknesses were essentially the step into them becoming dinners. But God said, I will raise him up, I will raise her up, and God raised you up, and God raised me up, and I will continue to raise you up in the mighty name of Jesus. And whatever you are going through in your body right now, you will not end up on anybody's dinner table. I didn't hear your amen. I didn't hear your amen. I didn't hear your amen. It will not happen to you. It will not happen to your children. It will not happen to anyone that is around you in the mighty name of Jesus. What is Satan's favorite food? Human beings. Human beings. Human beings. Well, that people eat people is something we know is practiced in real life. And it's even mentioned in the Bible. Let me show you something, a bizarre incident that took place in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26. Second Kings 6, we'll read 26 through 30. And frankly, this story we're about to read, I sometimes wonder if these women were agents of Satan, practicing in real life what they practice in the spirit. Because this is bizarre. You all there? All right. Verse 26 of 2 Kings chapter 6. I read. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord, O king. What happened? And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? After the barn floor, out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? Now look at this. And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son. They boiled him. Yay. And did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, these people are serious. Oh, you finish a whole boy in a day. Honestly, let's. I read this scripture. I said, "This, wow, what kind of women are these?" I mean, the whole boy from head to toe, they finish him in one day. Is a person a day? Those who are around you killing a person a day, God will deliver you from their hands. A person a day. Ah, You have to be an African to understand this thing. Seriously. You have to trust me that this thing is real. They took her son, and she was so heartless. Now, I can understand if a foreigner who is not part of the family kills somebody's son. The women that I know that go through pregnancy for 9 months, that go through the pain of childbirth, they would rather you kill them than kill their own children. But when you get to this point of wickedness, your child will taste like barbecue chicken in your mouth. If you have a mother that is alive today, that is killing her children, she will not be able to kill you. And God shall expose that to your mother before it is too late in the name of Jesus. Any woman around your life, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your father, that are involved in killing and destroy their own offsprings, may God destroy them by fire. There are people who are so wicked, they don't care. They don't care. They'll take their own child and donate the child. And they're asking them, who do we donate? Oh, we need somebody to eat on Wednesday. You say, take my son. Your own son, of course. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And the child will just be going to school in the natural, and some vehicle will hit the child, and the child will die. Whereas, the child died on Wednesday. He was supposed to be eating on Thursday. And the funny thing is, she will cry more than anybody else. My son, oh, my only son, oh. Now you kill, you are the one who killed him. Sorry, I just came back from Nigeria. You are the one who killed the child, and you are crying. And you are crying useless cry. All those who are crying useless cry around you, may God expose them by fire. And they are the ones that will cry most. How can you give your own child, your only son, and only two of you, it's only two of them that ate him. How can you be so hungry? Seriously, how much beef can you eat? How much chicken can you eat? Some of us who cannot finish a whole chicken. That's the truth. Some of us cannot finish a whole chicken, but these people finish a whole human being. Leg, intestine, head, teeth, and everything. Wickedness. Verse 20, and the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son. They boiled the boy and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, I'm hungry again. You should be crying for what happened yesterday. Those who see misfortune happen to you and they cannot cry, may God bring sorrow into their lives. And because you should have been crying for days, for months, if you're a real mother. But there are mothers that are not mothers. There are mothers that are wicked, wicked spirits themselves. If your mother is involved, may God expose her. If my mother is involved, may God expose her. The only thing that is too late, she's dead now. So we boiled my son and did eat him, and I said unto her the next day, give thy son, that we may eat him. And she did what? She hath hid her son. Okay, if your own son is that important to you, why did you eat somebody else's son? Seriously. Why did you eat somebody else's son? And it came to pass in verse 20, when the king heard these words, he rent his clothes. He started crying, and he put sackcloth upon his flesh. And many of you who are crying now, you don't know why you are crying. Somebody's putting your destiny in pots and cooking them. May their pot catch fire. Frankly, I said to you, it's just that these women and I will never meet on the other side, God forbid. I would have loved to ask them, are you people witches? Isn't it what you practice in the realm of the spiritual that you brought into the realm of the physical? And you killed an innocent child, and you're about to kill another innocent child, and you're about to kill another innocent child. I come from Africa. There are many people who are dead in Africa who should be alive by today. Seriously. Mysterious deaths. Mysterious killings. Accidents that are weird. There are spots in the city, spots in the highway that are noted for accidents. Because there they have to donate blood and donate flesh. Your blood shall not be donated. Your children's blood shall not be donated in the mighty name of Jesus. The truth is that the favorite food of Satan are human beings. And you know what? It's found all over the Bible. Let me prove it to you. Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse number 1. Micah is one of those lesser prophets that are hard to find. So you might want to check your index to find where it is. Micah chapter 3. You read the scriptures and you wonder, so this is in the Bible. Yes, sir. There's nothing new under the sun. It's nothing new. What has happened is happening and it will ever happen. This thing that I'm talking about, it will never stop, because the Bible says that is what you will eat all the days of your life. That is what you will eat. Micah 3:1. You all there? Let's read together. And I said, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Now look at verse 2. Who hate the good and love the evil? Who pluck off their skin from off them? I want to listen now. Read and listen. Who pluck off the skin from off them? Read. And their flesh from off their bones. Verse 3. Who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot and the flesh within the... You heard about the cauldron, haven't you? The cauldron is a very well-known pot that witches and wizards use to cook human flesh. And God said, I see everything. He said, look at these people that eat the flesh of my people. It's amazing how controlled God is. Because he sees everything that goes on and he keeps quiet. And he looks at them and he never says anything. If I were the one, I would kill them right there and then. But he just looks at them and says, how can these people do this? He said, they eat the flesh of my people. They flay their skin from off them. They break their bones and chop them in pieces. This is not talking about cow. This is not talking about deer. This is talking about human beings. And they put them in their pot that is called the cauldron. Now, as an African, this is one scripture that is not difficult for us to understand, because we Africans grew up in an environment where we know this to be true. We know them from songs. We know them from proverbs. We know them from folk tales. We know them from real experiences. And amazingly, we know them from confessions of witches and wizards. In fact, we know them from witches and wizards that try to kill people, and those people are too strong for them. And so they end up confessing publicly. I've seen women who will just disgrace the whole family and start rolling on the floor and say, we tried to kill so-and-so. It was so-and-so that told me to donate him. And I did not know that he has more power than I. And now look at what has happened to me. These are agents that are nothing but consumers of human flesh and consumers of human blood. It is public knowledge among Africans that it is standard practice in witchcraft. That if I donate my child, you have to donate your own child too. If I donate a member of my family, you have to donate a member of your family too for dinner. And there are many, many, many mothers who have, like we have read earlier, who would donate their sons, donate their daughters. And sometimes, these are grown-up children. Grown-up children in their 50s, grown-up children in their 60s. They don't care what your age is. They'll donate you in a jiffy. Maybe to be able to get a position. I mean, I had a young girl about 11 years old come to me from Maryland. I told you her story. She came to me from Maryland because her parents in Maryland were concerned about her. And they brought her to me, and she sat in my office. I just looked at this little, tiny little girl. And the girl looked at me. She said, don't look at me. I may look young, but I'm 65 years old. I said, what do you mean, my God? She said, of course, I'm 65 years old. And she said, they want to make me a princess. And it's my mother I want to donate. And her mother was sitting down there. The mother, I've never seen a woman as sickly as this sister. Very sickly woman. Always having one sickness after the other. And she rigged the whole house with arrows. I've told you this story before. She rigged the whole house with arrows. The kitchen was full of arrows. The bedroom was full of arrows. The bed was full of arrows. The wall was full of arrows. And the woman said, anywhere I sit, I feel something pinching me. If I lie down on the bed, I feel something pinching me. And the girl, being a young girl, could not even pronounce arrows. She called it ayos. He said, Pastor, I have ayos all over the house. I have ayos. My mother sleeps on ayos. My mother cooks on ayos. My mother eats on ayos. I said, what do you mean by ayo? Ayo means something else to me. It's a game. She said, no, it's not that kind of ayo. He said, it's arrows. I said, what's your ultimate goal? He said, to kill mommy. I said, what do you have to gain? He said, they told me if I can donate mommy, then they will make me a princess. And I will inherit a big mansion. Those who want to inherit something on your dead body, may they die before you. I must confess to you, we tried to deliver this girl. It did not work. Everything we did, she was just looking at us like this. They moved to the Midwest. I lost contact with them. I don't know whether she's still into it or she's not into it. I don't know whether she has succeeded at killing the mother or not. We had another one. I was doing mass deliverance in the Midwest. And one young boy, about 15 years old, we were calling out the spirits, and the Spirit of God grabbed him and slew him on the floor. As he fell on the floor, he started talking. I don't know if you went there with me that time or not. We went together. No, we didn't. All right. He fell on the ground and he started rolling. And they were there till 10 p.m. Me, I just started the trouble and I went home. And I left it with them. So the next day I told them, I asked them, what happened? They said, that boy, we didn't know he's like that. Oh. The boy could pass for the prophet of the church. Because anything he said will come to pass. When his father was looking for his green card, the boy just called him one day. He said, Daddy, this was about 5 p.m. The immigration office had closed. He said, Daddy, go to immigration now. They'll give you your green card. And the father said at 5 p.m., he said, I said so to you. Go, you will get your green card. He said, but the front door is closed. He said, go to the back door and introduce yourself. True story. And the father, you know, just went. And when he got to the immigration office in that town, the door was closed. The security said, why are you coming at this time? The door is closed. He said, my son told me to come. He said, who is your son? Is he the DA? And then he remembered the son said he should go through the back. So he went through the back. As he went through the back, he met the director coming out of the back. And the director says, may I help you? Who are you? He said, I'm Mr. Swanson. He said, Mr. Swanson, we've been looking for you. He said, come in. They gave him his paper that day. But the mother of the church, the pastor's wife, knew something was wrong with him. So the pastor's wife would go to him and say, you, this boy, you will not become prophet in this church. Because there's something about you that is not right. So when we went there, he was exposed. And you know what he said to them? He said, my father will be donated. Before the end of this year, my father will be donated. His father is from my country. And guess what? The man died a mysterious death. Donated by his son. What is Satan's favorite food? Dust. And who is dust? Dust art thou, and dust shall thou return. But your own dust shall not be edible. That is my purpose this morning. That your own dust shall be a dust that is not edible. And so people who donate people, I can tell you stories upon stories upon stories that I know. The Bible calls their pot the cauldron. We are going to deal with the cauldron before we go tonight, today. So my goal this morning is that your flesh shall not end up in their pot. That your children's flesh shall not end up in their pot. Your wife's flesh, your husband's flesh, the flesh of anyone connected to you shall not end up in their pot. I know what I'm talking about. I had an ex-witch who was a member of this church when we were in Brooklyn. She walked up to me one day and said, Bishop, let me tell you something. She said, my first day, said it was somebody that initiated me. And they said, let me take you somewhere tonight. And we went to the place. So when we got there, there were many women and many men. So, but the thing that amazed me was there were many, listen to this, there were many cows. Cows. That were tied down to trees. And so they were all making a and then she said, she asked the one that took her there, what are cows doing here? And the person told them, those are really not cows. So those are not cows. And so you will soon find out after you've been here for a while. Those are human beings. We don't eat them like human beings, literally. We turn them into something that will make you want to eat them. He said, one of them we will slaughter tonight, and we will eat. And we have enough that will last us several days. Wherever you are tied down, you are free this afternoon. There's a lot of things. I don't want to come to church and be telling you of the depths of Satan. There's so many things deep about Satan that ordinary people don't know. You can't go and study psychology and know what I'm talking about. If you can't go to Bible school like I go and talk about, my professors don't understand this thing I'm talking about. They don't. But eventually she said she came out of it. That's what she said. As she came out of it. And that was how she came to church. But she, even her husband, the man suffered. Because I know the man like I know you. What she put the man through, I don't understand how she was not able to kill the man. The man was just driving in Brooklyn and stopped by the red light, waiting for the red light to turn green, and somebody came and shot him and he got paralyzed till today. She said, before I came to join him, I went somewhere and I called my husband. I don't want to talk too much this morning. I called my husband. He was here in Brooklyn. She was in Africa. So I called my husband and called him to a mirror. So when they called him and called him and called him by his soul name, you know what they call soul name? That middle name that nobody knows about you. That's your soul name. When they want to call you, that's the name they use. They don't use the name that they call you on your certificate. It is your soul name. Said, I call him by his soul name. And he appeared in front of a mirror. And I told him certain things. And as I told him, he was saying, yes, yes, yes. After I finished summoning him, I told him he can go. And he was still sleeping in Brooklyn. When they call you, Jesus will answer for you. Yeah. This thing I'm talking about is true. This thing I'm talking about is real. Wickedness in high places. You wonder why the black man is not moving forward? Our technology is too much. Our own technology does not find iPhone. The technology of other people is having iPhone, is having iPad. Our own is iKill. I destroy. That's our own. While others are finding things that will help humanity and make life better. I fly from London to this place in 6 hours. Our own is, we don't need the airplane to fly. We fly with the air. We are there. But we are not going to do good. If we are going to do good, we won't use that. I said your flesh shall be too bitter for the devil. Your children's blood shall be too bitter for them to drink. The place where my father retired, it's not my hometown, he just retired there. So we decided to settle there. I was passing through there this past week. And I remember the story as I passed through the house of the man. Two women were fighting in real life. They were having a quarrel. You know, two women. And the husband sided with the other woman. This is not, they told me, I know about it. The husband sided with the other woman, not with his own wife. The wife was angry. How can you side with someone fighting your wife? But the truth of the matter was, it wasn't a physical fight. It was a spiritual fight that spilled into real life. They were fighting over who will be the second in command in the witchcraft coven. And it spilled into real life. And the man, instead of shutting his mouth, that the fight that he doesn't know anything about, he should not get involved. He put his mouth. And he said, you like position too much. That's what I've been telling you. If it were possible, you would be my husband in this house. Can I give you an advice? Can I give you an advice? Let me move here so everyone will see me. You all see me? Clear. Put on your glasses, so. Look, the fight that does not concern you, leave it alone. Maybe I should say it again. Should I say it in French? The fight that is none of your business, when you see them fighting like this, just say, hey, two fighting, and then you just go your way. There are many of us, what they don't call you into, what they don't invite you into, you take your mouth, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You say, sorry, oh. After he said it, then they held a meeting in the night. And they settled it for them. And then they said, how can a man, a useless man, for that matter, put his mouth and insult you? It was his wife who was saying that, though. How can this man insult me? And then they agreed they would deal with him. And that he would be the meal for next week. True story. Do you know the man just slept and he never woke up? In 7 days, he was their dinner. And then two people are fighting, you put your mouth, they'll come, oh, I want to see both of you in my house. You even bring them to your house. And you say, as an elder in our village, God has anointed me to settle quarrel. Where's the anointing? That's your own calling. There is a quarrel between the people of the world and God. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the quarrel, number one quarrel God wants you to settle. Then you are settled between witches and wizards. Let me give you two more scriptures and then we'll pray. Psalm 14. You know, nobody experienced warfare like David. Nobody. He experienced physical warfare, he experienced spiritual warfare. You know, as I prepare this message, I couldn't but think about many of you and the things I happen to know about many of you. If it were for death, they would have killed you. And that's why I have confidence, so if they have not been able to kill you by now, they will never be able to kill you. That's the truth. That's the truth. There's a brother that I just saw that walked into the church. If I give him the microphone, you will be shocked what he will say to you. They've tried to kill him and have him for dinner, but they will never succeed. Can you imagine somebody driving on an overpass and his car rolls from the overpass to the down below? And he still lives to tell the story. He shall live to tell every story. Psalm 14 verse 4. You're there? Look at what David said, though. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? What's the next statement? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? Eh? I'll call upon the Lord. They don't have time for God. How can you be eating somebody and be asking God to bless the food? They cannot. But some of them go to church. Some of them are here this morning. Yes. Yeah, I'm not afraid of you. Come to church. You eat the bread of life, but you also go and eat somebody on Tuesday. The meal you ate last night will be the last meal you ever eat. Psalm 27. This is more serious. I think with this we have to go and pray. Psalm 27 from verse number 2. Strange deaths. Strange deaths. You know the child that was born after me? Child that was born after me. My mother's child that was born after me. When I was about 3 years old, I woke up one morning in our village, and my mother was crying. She put her hand on her head. Yeah, my head, oh, my life, oh. I mean, I was little boy. And I had my kaftan on. If you don't know what kaftan is, don't worry. And I woke up, and I went to my dad, and I saw some men in our house. I said, why is mommy crying? And my father said, there's no problem. But I knew something was wrong with my mother early in the morning. So why is she crying? And then I saw some men bring shovels and axe. And they went to our garden on the side of the house behind the kitchen. I see it as if it's yesterday. They were digging the ground at about 5:30 in the morning. Then I saw them carry my brother. He was dead. A little boy. Tiny little boy. They carried him. And my father said, your brother died. I couldn't cry. All right? It's good he died. He's been competing with me for attention, so it's okay. That's what crossed my mind. I have nobody competing for my attention now. So they carried this little boy and buried him. And that was the end of it. It's still vivid in my mind. Then 2 months ago, I went to Nigeria and I called my brother. I was in his office and we were talking. I said, that my brother that died. I said, you still remember? I said, I do. I said, what happened to him? I said, was it malaria that killed him? Or why did he die in infancy? My brother laughed. He said, you are too young to know what was going on. He said, there was a man that my mother offended. And this is not a dream. She told her point blank. He told her point blank, said, we will make you cry. He said, that's your baby that you have will be our next donation. We will donate your baby. And my mother, and he said, my mother said, but why will you do a thing like that to me? He said, because you offended us. He said, you don't know who you offended. My mother can be a tough woman. She can use her mouth to drive rough driving. Sorry, may her soul rest in peace. But I think she used her mouth to drive rough. And she drove rough in a wrong neighborhood. And the man looked at her and said, you talk to me like that, you will pay for it with your child. And we'll do it with your last child. We'll kill him. We will eat him. And my mother said, you can't do it. You are just talking. Have you ever seen people who boast but they don't have Jesus? And then one morning she just woke up. Her son was dead. And that's how she lost her son. Everyone that you have lost, may God restore for you. Everything that you have lost, may God restore. We are talking about a serious battle. There are people that have died mysteriously around us and we wonder why. And then he mentioned the name of the man who did it to me. The man himself is dead now. The man is dead. My mother is dead. The child that you killed is dead. And out of the three of them, maybe only that child got to heaven. I don't know. Do you know that even in Africa, there are people that will go and enter witchcraft just to protect their children? Oh, you didn't know that? Because they've killed so many of their children. One of the brothers in this church was telling me that after they killed 10 of her siblings, his siblings, then his mother also said, wait, me also, if you can't beat them, you have to join them. And then they go and join them. And the problem now is, when you join them, what you don't realize is, they will still force you to donate more. Because you have to partake of the food that other people bring. So you yourself must also bring your own food. So those of you that they have been talking to, and they have been saying there is a society in Bronx, and they have been begging you, come and join. And they say it will bring you success. It will bring you protection. It's a lie. It is after you have joined that you will discover that you have joined what will destroy you and your siblings and your family and your children. One of you is just looking at me right now. I just made eye contact with you. And you are mad because of what I said. If you don't come out, God will destroy you. You are mad because of what I'm saying. You and I just made eye contact. You are sitting on the right side. On the row back there. I feel like calling you out.